In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, seed of wisdom, pray for us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, today we will continue with our letters. Luisa's letters. We are in letter 109.
Letter number 109 to Mrs. A. Savarani from Faenza. In Voluntate Dei. My good daughter in the divine volition, what I recommend to you is that the divine will be your life, your breath, the beating of your heart, your continuous motion. It is the greatest miracle that the Lord can make for you and the highest sanctity we can possibly reach. Every time we live of divine will, we acquire divine bonds and we bind ourselves to the divine family. All rights are ours, both human and divine, because everything belongs to the divine will. Therefore, everything is ours. So think that together with the divine volition, I am whispering in your ear, my daughter, live always in the divine will. I have always remembered that among everyone, you had a special interest in knowing the divine will and making it known. When we want to know it, we form the seed of the divine will, and I was bound to you. Therefore, continue your mission. I beg you, do not draw back, and in all things, make an encounter with the divine will. Oh, how it yearns for this and reaches the point of crying and begging us to receive it in all our acts. And when it is received, it makes feast and puts all heaven in a new feast, seeing that a creature wants to do its divine will. Thank you for your affection. I will pray for your brother, and you pray for me, for I so much need it, leaving you in the center of the sea of the divine will, that you may never again leave it. I say, little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, January 22nd, 1942. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. We know that the divine will is the highest sanctity that we can possibly reach because it is the first sanctity that Adam and Eve possess. So in a way, we have to look at the gift of the divine will in the context of the whole history of salvation. The divine will, as we know, is the gift in which Adam and Eve were created. Basically, they were created in that union with God. And because they withdraw from that union, they willingly, they use their free will to go from that union, to depart from that union, then that's why we needed somebody else to redeem us. The whole history of salvation, or the economy of salvation that the church talks about, is because of the fall. So we have to see all of this in the kind of like in a line. I think I mentioned before that, we have to see this like a whole movie, not really just one episode or like a series of just one episode, to understand the divine will, the gift of the divine will, and why this is needed, and why this is the sanctity of sanctities, the highest sanctity. We need to understand the whole history of salvation. So, if we understand Adam and Eve were created in the state of grace, immaculate, with no sin, in that union, in which they were told that they had to remain there, but they fall through their disobedience, then they lost the gift that God had given them. Now, right after our Lord, God, Genesis 3:15, the promise of the Redeemer, what the church sees as the promise of the Redeemer. And we see that it unfolds, the history of salvation then continues to unfold after the destruction of everything through the flood. Then the only one that remains is Noah, right? He continues. Then Abraham is called. And after that, we see that he's given a son, and the Lord continues to unfold with the history of salvation until we get to Moses. So, to Moses, let's go back to Abraham. He's promised a descendants. So, the 12 tribes, they come from Abraham, from that, right? Isaac, Jacob, Abraham. Isaac, Jacob, and then the 12 tribes, and then until they fall in slavery. But the one who is called to bring them out is Moses. To Moses, a land of milk and honey is promised. And he's able to see the land, the promised land. He's not able to enter there. But you see how the promises are being fulfilled. Then, through the prophets, he continues to talk. And even in the creed, we say, the Holy Spirit, we believe in the Holy Spirit who has spoken through the prophets. Right? So, is the Holy Spirit continuing also the work? God, through his Spirit. In the Old Testament, they are promised the Messiah, God with us. A virgin shall conceive a son. His name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. So that promise is being fulfilled in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. That promise is being fulfilled. Our Lord Jesus promise the Holy Spirit, that promise is being fulfilled. What we celebrate today is the fulfillment of that promise, because in the whole world, the Holy Spirit is in the church, the Holy Spirit is being poured out already. That gift that the Lord promised is being sent. It was sent in Pentecost and is deposited in the church. And the Holy Spirit continues his work through the sacraments. He's present there through the sacraments. And those who want to participate of that grace, that's where we have to go, the seven channels of grace in the church. So we are not waiting for the Holy Spirit anymore, because he's there. The Holy Spirit is waiting for us in the sacraments. So that we can receive that Holy Spirit individually, which has been given to the church. Now he's the one who is waiting for us. And it's in baptism that the first encounter of the soul with God again, the first encounter of the creature with grace again. And it continues with confirmation, the Eucharist, and all of the rest of the sacraments. So the Holy Spirit is waiting there, and it's God who continues his work It's like if Jesus were here, but now he's not here in his body, but he's here in his spirit. His spirit is the spirit of the Father, and his spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. So our Lord Jesus is here in the sacraments. The Holy Spirit is here in the sacraments. We don't have to wait for him. He's waiting for us. So the promise is being fulfilled. Now, our Lord Jesus, in a way, prophesied the next promise. He promised that he will send the Holy Spirit, and then he make a prophecy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's the next thing that has to be fulfilled. So we are living in that time now. And those who read and have encountered this gift, these writings, now that promise is being fulfilled in each one of us, according to our disposition, according to our capacity, according to our docility to the Holy Spirit. So, why is this sanctity that Luisa Picaretta mentions here the highest sanctity we can possibly reach? Because it's the original sanctity, it's the original gift, is what the Lord is talking about when he gave the name of these writings is the call to the creature to go back to the place, to the order for which and the purpose for which we were created. And one of the fathers of the church in the liturgy, they mentioned the Holy Spirit finds us deformed. And now through the sacraments, he formed us because the work of the Holy Spirit is to sanctify us, to make us ready. A way that we can't a little like, that we can understand it a little bit better is that it's either through the work of the Holy Spirit, by freely allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us, even with this gift, or is purgatory. Because this is before purgatory, this is the last chance to be perfected, to be sanctified, to be made holy. So it's either here through the work of the Holy Spirit and us cooperating and then acquiring merit and all of that, or it will be purgatory because before we enter into heaven, we have to possess this gift. Because in heaven it's only the possession of the will of God in every creature. So imagine that it's like a garment. If you don't carry this garment with you right now, you will have to acquire it and you will have to buy it because actually this garment has been given to us in baptism, but because we it's stained and it's lost. Either we acquire it here again through the sacraments, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, and now also through the living in the divine will, or we will have to buy it over there or to clean it over there through fires. Yes, it's a fire of love. It's a fire that is longing for God, that's purgatory. But nevertheless, it's a suffering fire because you suffer because now you have seen all the souls in purgatory, they have seen the glory of God, but they cannot behold. They are not ready. So they have to go under that transformation, that process of adapting themselves to the new reality. But because they didn't acquire the capacity here, now they have to acquire it over there by fires. That is a constant fire. Yes, it's a fire of love. A fire of love from God that is refining the souls there. And it's a fire of love from the soul towards God. Because you have seen the highest good. And you cannot obtain it. So there is a deep, deep, deep suffering there. So that's why Luisa Picaretta also, when she says she understands the gift of the divine will, and she understands that we are in the fulfillment of the Our Father before the last coming. Before he comes in glory, as he says, and he will separate the goats from the sheep. And even St. Paul talks about this, that in the last day, those who have experienced death and they are the righteous ones, they will resurrect and they will encounter their body. Those who are alive and they are in the state of grace, they will be taken like in a rapture. They will not experience death. Those who are dead and they are not in purgatory or in heaven, they will not resurrect. So this is what we are in the line of history of salvation. We are in the fulfillment of the Our Fathers. And who is carrying this work? The Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. We could say that it is the Holy Spirit with the fire of His love that is purifying the souls in purgatory too. Because the love of God burning out of love, the desire of God to possess the souls, that desire, the firmness of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we can say they experience that, those flames of love, but now in a painful way that is in at the same time joyful. We cannot describe really purgatory. It's painful, it's joyful, it's hopeful. But nevertheless, it requires some kind of suffering. So we are called to, Luisa Vigarreta understands that. And she's able to say, yes, this is the highest sanctity that we can ever reach here. Therefore, our mission is in the same way that she's telling this lady, our mission is also to continue in the divine will, living in the divine will, trying to advance in the knowledge, understanding, and living in the practicing of the living in the divine will. Because this is what will restore in us what God wants. It is the will of God for all of us to be in the state of grace. You know, many times I encounter people, they ask me, Father, what is the will? How do I know the will of God for me, for myself? Well, first of all, the will of God for all of us is to be in the state of grace. So go to confession. Go to confession as often as you need it. Each one of us know how often we need the sacrament of confession. So that's what we need to do so that the Holy Spirit may be able to do His work in us. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Understanding the gift of the divine will is the work of the Holy Spirit. Living in the divine will is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, from now on, everything we do has to have the purpose of calling the kingdom of the divine will to descend and reign on earth as it reigns in heaven. That's what it means, really, to live in the divine will. To have that constant awareness of me, having that in mind. So even our past acts, to repurpose basically our acts, to give that new purpose. And the acts of the saints, you know, basically to repurpose again their acts. And this is what it means basically to redo. Because we cannot go back and do what they did. No. But we can have the intention to repurpose their acts. And we know that one of the things that the divine will does, it expands our soul. And this is very difficult to understand, but in my research, I found a beautiful saint that, by the way, is related with the divine will, that our Lord mentions him in the Book of Heaven, and is Saint Philip Neri. Saint Philip narrated his experience. The story says that in the vigil of the Holy Spirit, which was yesterday, he prayed to the Holy Spirit for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he entered into a deep silence and prayer. The story says that as he was in prayer, a ball of fire came and entered into his mouth. And he just fell to the ground. He felt that his chest was burning inside. He felt so much joy that he felt like his heart was going to explode of the joy. And from that on, he became so joyful, but not with the joy of the world that is goofiness. Or just joking around to be a joker, for the sake of just no. But that joy, that peace, that consolation, that even in difficulties, that everything, you have the certainty that you have that presence. So when he died, they wanted to see because his chest also, when he was alive, from that moment on, his chest expanded. And he was always hot. I don't know what kind of windows they have at that time, but certainly not the kind of windows that we have. But the story says that he always was like with his windows open, and he was always with very light clothes because he was so hot always. His chest always was burning. So when he died, the story says that they wanted to see, so they opened. They opened his chest, and what they found is that his heart had grown twice as much as a normal heart. And even that the artery, that pumps the blood out of the heart, that it became also like twice as big as a normal one. And his ribs, they broke out to make space for the new heart. That's only a example of how the Holy Spirit is also able to leave his mark in the saints. So we can say that he is the saint, one of the saints of the Holy Spirit. You know how our Lord Jesus has left his marks in some of the saints, the stigmata. Even Luisa Picaretta experienced that, but she wanted that to be invisible. She didn't want to draw any attention to herself. So when she was asked, she said, yes, but I want them to be invisible. So Padre Pio, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Rita of Kesha, they all experience, among others, the wounds of our Lord. So we can say the saints of redemption, right? But now, seeing this in the life of Philip Neri, we can say there is no wonder why our Lord mentions here in the Book of Heaven. And why he wanted the priest to use this as the rule, when we gather together, because his rule was very simple: charity, Holy Spirit. So you see, the Holy Spirit is able to leave the physical impression in our hearts too. The divine will leaves a physical impression in our souls. And because that's a gift from God, we are gifted with a supernatural soul that feeds from the supernatural things. When we operate in the divine will, we can say that even the soul is being quenched, is being satisfied. All you who burdened and thirst, come to me. I will give you rest. This is the gift. This is how our Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is going to give rest to our hearts and expand our capacity to understand. So, It is the highest sanctity because it's the original that God intended. It is the highest sanctity, the divine will, because it completes us also. It's the only one that is able to heal us from inside out. So, what does it mean then to live in the divine will? To have that in mind, that everything we do is for this. Because now we understand that this prophecy of our Father has to be fulfilled and is fulfilling in our time. But it requires the human will to cooperate. So, Teresa Picaretta is right when she says, continue your mission. Do not withdraw back. And in all things, make an encounter with the divine will. In all things, make an encounter with the divine will, and I will say, and in all things, offer everything for the divine will to descend. In a special way, we also, now that we know the divine will, we should have a very special connection now with the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit through us that is going to bring and renew the face of the earth. First of all, beginning with this earth, with each one of us, because we are made out of clay. So he begins with us. The kingdom of heaven begins within us, within our soul, and it expands and expands and expands with every single act. And one day we will be able to behold the whole of who God is, according to our capacity, but this is the preparation. So, yes, of course, the heaven makes feast every time a new creature wants to live in the divine will because it's like the Blessed Mother again, crushing the head of the serpent. So, basically, us crushing our human will to give way to the divine will. So that's how it works. Let's continue with the next letter.
Letter number 110 to Frederico Abresh in Voluntate Dei. Dearest son in the divine volition, what you say seems good to me, and also the Lord is pleased, because those who today love to live in the divine will and to know it form the seed, the conception, and maybe even the birth of this divine volition within their souls also, to make it be conceived in other creatures. So, if it does not expand, how can it be reborn in others? You must know that the sanctity of living in the divine will is nothing other than a birth which the divine sanctity makes in the creatures. It is the greatest miracle it can perform in the creatures. It is the miracle which can give all to God, which can love him for all, even for those who do not yet exist, and which can receive all from God. In fact, finding his most holy will in us, he finds the space in which to place his sanctity, his goodness, his beauty, his graces, and also his divine works. So he is able to form his own divine generation in all our acts. Oh, how glorified and loved is God in seeing the generation of his divine life in our tiny acts, even in the breath, in the motion, in the step. The sanctity of living in the divine will is symbolized by the sun, which does good to all, gives itself to all, denies itself to no one, and while almost holding the earth on its lap, giving to each plant to some color, to some sweetness, to some fragrance, things which are all different and distinct among each other. Yet while doing so much good, The sun never says a word. It allows its light to be trodden by our steps. It follows us everywhere, and all the glory and honor is of God who made its sun. Such is the soul who lives in the divine will, whom the Lord uses to do good to all, and from whom he receives glory and honor as if all had loved him. Therefore, love very much that the divine will be known in order to form its divine generation upon earth, that he may abound even more with his beloved creatures. He feels so much the need to love and to be loved, but does not find his will, his love remains hampered, and he is not able to give or receive what he wants. The divine will has such surprises in the soul that the heavens are astonished and the angels remain mute in seeing our Creator enclosed in our tiny act. Beloved Son, I recommend to you, never go out of the divine will. I commend myself to your prayers and leaving you bound to the divine family to live together with them. I send you my regards from the heart. Most affectionately yours, the little daughter of the divine will. Corrado, January 2nd, 1942. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. So we find that concept again of the creature that lives in the divine will, or the soul of the creature who lives in the divine will, expands, and the way this gift operates again is through the human acts. Once you possess the gift of the divine will, you, because the divine will is everything, or has the contains everything, and it has the capacity to give to the creature the ability to give everything to God. And it says, even of those who are not yet born. Can you imagine that? Even to love God for those who do not exist in time and space. Because in the eyes of God, in the mind of God, he has already all those souls, all the souls that will ever exist, they are already in the mind of God. So it is in time that he decides when everybody is coming to space and time, giving us always the time to live in the time in which we have the most chances to be safe. Each soul comes into time and space in the moment God knows, in the time and space in history, that God knows we will have the best chances, the most chances to be safe. So that's one thing that we have to understand also. If the soul does not expand, then how can God, who is all goodness, all beauty, all grace, all can have a room to deposit, basically to pour out himself into the creature? This is what he does. Through the sacraments, he's pouring out himself. St. Paul tells us the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the grace of the Holy Spirit. So we can say the same, the mercy of God has been poured into our hearts through the grace of the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of confession, in the anointing of the sick. The grace of God has been poured into our hearts in the sacrament of matrimony, in the sacrament of the priesthood. The grace of God has been poured into our hearts. The holiness of God has been poured into our hearts. The sanctity of God, the divinity of God has been poured into our hearts through the grace of the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of the Eucharist, when we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity. Now, the grace of God has been put into our hearts. Through the grace of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, piety, courage, fear of the Lord, counsel. So we can say each one of those things we can say has been put into our hearts. In the same way, we can say the gift of the divine will has been put into our hearts through the grace of the Holy Spirit. See, because it's the Holy Spirit who is accomplishing. So the Holy Spirit has a lot of things to do. It displays. See, displays the whole plan of God. It brings to fulfillment the plan of God, and the Holy Spirit is the one who spans our soul to give us everything that God wants to give us through this gift. As Luisa Picaretta mentions that here, sanctity, goodness, beauty, grace, and all of that. So now it is not only, this is the beautiful thing also about the divine will and how it really takes us back to what Adam and Eve were living, because they didn't have the sacraments. For us, they are necessary because we are in the state of the fallen state, we can say. When they were created in the state of grace, they didn't need the sacraments. Only the sacrament of matrimony is the only thing that they needed. God instituted the sacrament of matrimony right there for them to be co-creators with him. But this is what we're doing. They were glorifying God, loving God, for them and even for the next generations to come, just by the simple motion, by the simple breathing, by their heart palpitating, beating, all of that. So you see how it really takes us back to the first, and it really elevates us to that first one, that first sanctity. So this sanctity of living in the divine will harmonizes with the whole of creation. It makes us harmonize with everybody. It makes us, again, go back to that unity. And just as the sun does good to everybody, but everybody receives according to their capacity, or according also to their nature and species. So the divine will also gives to everybody according to his capacity, and the grace is needed according to his or her mission, right? So the plant receives the same rays of the sun, but the sun will have a different effect in the plant than in the fish and in the human person. Yet it's the same sun. But to each one in particular gives to what it needs and for accomplishing its nature, its purpose. And in accomplishing that, God gets more glory. So it is good that the plant exists, but when the plant exists, when the plant accomplishes its purpose for which the plant was created, to give fruit and nourish somebody, then it is a greater good. And it's the same with us. It is good that God created us in his image and his likeness. But once we reach our purpose, which is to love, to serve, and to give everything in return to him, then it is greater than just existence. So praying and all of that is good, but when we and being holy is good, reaching a certain level of sanctity and holiness is good, but it is greater when we acquire the sanctity of the divine will, because this is the purpose for which we were created. If the plant that is created doesn't accomplish its purpose, Then it is good that it's created, but it didn't accomplish the highest good. So the first one supersedes the second one, basically. That means then God gets more glory when we achieve our final end, basically, or the purpose for which we were created. And the gift of the divine will, again, symbolized by the sun, as Luisa Picaretta tells us here, is there for everybody, denies nothing to everybody, is the sun is up there, but everybody receives according to his, her disposition, and that disposition, right, depends of how well disposed is our soul. That's why we will always, again, I mentioned the sacrament of reconciliation. Because in there it is the preparation. What grieves the Holy Spirit within us? So we can say the same things that we can say of the Holy Spirit, we can apply to the divine will interchangeably. St. Paul says, get rid of all malice, of all bitterness, of all anger. So we see that that's the result of the human will operated apart from the divine will. So basically we can say get rid of all the human will, maliciousness or acts apart from the divine will. What saddens the divine will or the Holy Spirit operating in us is the human will operating. And the human will by itself operates and produces this, which we call vices. But if we operate in union with the divine will, the Holy Spirit will be able to produce in us that peace, that joy, that happiness, that kindness, purity, and all of the seven gifts, I mean, all the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Gentleness, patience, humility, all of that, which are fruits of the Holy Spirit. And then we can say these are also fruits of one who lives in the divine will, because one who lives in the divine will has in the soul, we can say, the Holy Spirit operating in him and her. So now it's not only through the sacraments, but even through this simple motion, the simple breath. So it goes beyond. It goes beyond. It doesn't disqualify or cancel. Doesn't cancel the sacraments at all. No. It takes from where the sacraments, it takes us deeper now, because the sacraments, again, the sacrament of the Eucharist stays with us like 15 minutes. But now living in the divine will is a prolonging that presence in us through this gift operating in us now 24/7. Being able to constantly, constantly, constantly love God with his own goodness, with his own beauty, with his own self. So loving God with his own will. What hampers this presence again is sin. That's why Luisa Picaretta always recommends, right, to keep in union with the divine will in everything. She says, such is the soul who lives in the divine will, whom the Lord uses to do good to all, and from whom he receives glory and honor to all. And as if all had loved him, again, using the symbol of the sun as the divine will. Just as the sun is able to give to all, in the divine will, that soul is able to give to God on behalf of all. That doesn't mean also, this is the other thing that we have to clarify, that doesn't mean that the others are absented from giving glory to God. No, they still owe to God, right? The only thing that we are giving to God to satisfy that our love that we are giving to Him in union with His will satisfies Him. And He's able to see, like, if everybody was loving Him, right? But again, that doesn't exclude the other ones. That doesn't dispense the other ones. It's not a dispensation for others not to love God. Because one can say, well, I already gave to God on behalf of all of them. They are already saved. This will be a wrong interpretation. But it happens that God, by virtue of that union of the divine will, is able to receive so much love as if, this is the thing, as if. I think this is what she also mentions here. Let me see. Yes, at the end it says, in front whom he receives glory and honor as if all had loved him. All right? So this is a very important part that we have to clarify and in order to continue in this understanding of the divine will, trying to understand it in line with the teachings of the church also, because yes, we can intercede on behalf of others, we can sacrifice on behalf of others, yes. We do it all the time. How many times do we fast for this miracle to happen, for that miracle to happen, for this to happen, for that to happen? How many times we promise things in exchange for something else, right? We are given something in order to receive. So here, the first thing that we are doing or living in divine will shall be just for the glory of God. Second, for the benefit that it can bring to our brothers and sisters, and third, for our own salvation. So then also with this, see, this living in the divine will help us to arrive to perfect prayer. Because perfect prayer then becomes a prayer becomes perfect when we do everything for the glory of God. Whether I live or die, I do it for the love of Christ. So now, whether I live or die, I do it for the kingdom of divine will to descend. Then for the good or the benefit that it can bring to others. And third, for our own salvation. So you see that prayer then is being perfected because it has the main objective is the glory of God. And then the love, so loving God. And then loving the neighbor, the good that he can bring to others. And finally, us. That's why it's, in that way our prayer is perfected. And it happens when we live in the divine will. Because then if we understand that objective that we took basically as our base a couple months ago, Volume 29, October 8, 1930, that passage of calling, remembering, and offering everything for the divine will, and then for the good that it can bring to others, and now also for our benefit, then is the prayer that fulfills loving God and loving the neighbor. So let's go back again to the condition. So when we offer this and we love also offer God as if all had loved him. Here, the point that I want to really clarify is that this does not excuses the rest from loving God. Doesn't mean that they don't have to love God. Yes, they do still have to. That doesn't mean that they are automatically safe because we pray for them. No, because they also have their human will. So what it will do is that it will create the dispositions in them. That maybe through our prayers, God will dispose their souls in some way that one day may be able to receive it. And this is what he's saying. You are able to love even for those who are not yet born. Right? So let's try to see if we can cover the next letter today.
Letter number 111 to a priest, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, fiat. Most Reverend Father, I feel the duty to send you my wishes for your name day, but my most beautiful wish is that of sending you the divine will as bearer of divine sanctity, of light, of love, and of peace. That it may plunge you into its sea and hide you within its light in such a way as to not want to see anything but divine will. May all your life be transformed so much in it as to feel its life more than yours. How happy you will be! You will feel a creative power in all your necessary things and also in the good you want to do to souls. In the divine will, you will feel that it is not you who are speaking, working, walking, loving, but it is Jesus who speaks, works, walks, and loves. Even more, he is too jealous to let us do. He wants to do everything himself. And in order to do so, he puts his own will at our disposal. Goodness of God, how lovable! Great and powerful you are. Holy Father, I think you will appreciate my wishes, which I am sending to you with all my heart, and that you will pray for me that I may never leave the divine will, because it alone is my refuge, my help, the support in my sufferings. However, I feel happy that everyone has gone away from me and you too. And that the divine will is the only thing left to me, and I hope it will soon take me to heaven in its arms. I renew my wishes and leaving you in the center of the sea of the fiat and kissing your right hand on my knees, I implore your paternal blessing. The little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, March 1942. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Now, this letter is written to a priest, but we can take it for all of us, for all the lay people too, knowing that it's exactly the Lord Jesus who is speaking through us, walking through us, loving in us, just doing everything in us, even the most simple things. That's the way he puts his will at our disposal. So he really, if we really understand this gift, we have to see everything, every single moment, every day, every single moment as an opportunity to just basically become another Jesus or to give glory to God. And as an opportunity for us to advance in holiness. And when we receive the sacraments, then that life that we already received will intensify in us, or it will be fortified because it is basically the soul receiving the divine, which already contains, and basically bringing more light and making it more pure and refining it even more. Or you can see like stirring. Like in a pot, stirring it, that life in us that one day we will be able to see, even if Right now we don't see it, but one day we will be able to see all the good that the circumstances brought about. That's why in other parts of the letters and even in the Book of Heaven, our Lord Jesus tells the Picareta, do not look at the circumstances. Just be attentive and never go out of the divine will. Never go out of the divine will. I want you always in the divine will. Don't look in the to the don't look at the circumstances, just look at my will. So basically this is what we have to do also, like in suffering, in pain, and everything, to see the divine will as a refuge, to see the divine will in times of joy as our own happiness, because the divine will is also happiness. So what's the source of our happiness? The divine will. And in that moment, we offer even our happiness for the gift of the divine will to descend. So everything is really an occasion for us to rise and to ascend to the original way of holiness, to the highest sanctity that God has prepared for us since the beginning. So today that we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, we should pray in a special way to the Holy Spirit to never let us go out of the divine will, but on the contrary, to take us deeper and deeper and deeper, to open our intellect, our understanding, to make that knowledge also descend in the heart, that we may love it. That we are able to understand it and love it both, not only to understand it with the intellect, or not only loving it with the mind, because both are needed. You know, John Paul II in his encyclical Fides Ratio, faith seeks understanding, and when we understand even our faith, our soul expands. And we come to know the truth. Once we arrive to the truth, then we become truly free. And once we are truly free, we are able to really be united with the will of God, because those acts will be truly, truly free acts with the knowledge and the love of the divine will now. It will be expanding and expanding in us, the seeds of love and power and wisdom that the divine will has for all of us. So just inundating our souls, you know, perhaps we are not going to be like Philip Neri with that visible and physical sign in our chest, but it's something that it really, really happens. That is so real as the Holy Spirit is real, as our soul is real. It's as real as the breath we take every moment, and even though we don't see it. So, with that in mind, let us ask the Holy Spirit, let us entrust ourselves today to the Holy Spirit, and let us ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with the fire of His love, with the fire of His knowledge and understanding. Through the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God be glorified through our study of the divine will, through our learning. Through our acts. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.